Volunteers. All Work and No Pay by James Miller.
On a winter's night in a run-down pocket of Naples, a group gathers outside a crumbling facade behind a tiny square. An oddly quiet bunch, there is no chatter, laughter, or interaction of any description. Some have their faces buried in their phones, others turn their gaze heavenwards, in fact, anywhere but at each other. You could call it a conspiracy of pretense, for these people are not strangers. They have lived and worked side by side for years. What, you may ask, is their problem? Inside, university student Alida Benvenuto is concentrating on ladling hot soup into a bowl. An elderly lady wrapped in a shawl to keep her thin frame warm in the chilly evening air is waiting for what is possibly her only meal of the day. It breaks my heart to see them day after day, and I feel embarrassed that while I have been sheltered from the worsening economic situation, they haven't been spared, reveals Alida when I talk to her later. Curious about this lack of a social life, I ask when she finds time to connect with friends or have a night off. By the look she gives me, I realize having fun isn't particularly high on her agenda. Witnessing this level of poverty is a very humbling experience. It forces you to put others first. I can't turn my back on them when they need me here, she replies in earnest. It's a sentiment echoed by all of the selfless volunteers I've spoken to in Europe's crisis-hit South, where austerity measures have eaten away at public funds, resulting in an even greater need for local, community-led food programs. Across the Adriatic in Greece, where the situation grows worse by the day, community soup kitchens and cooperatives have sprung up like mushrooms on a forest floor. Joining them are movements fighting food waste. With them acting as middlemen, their plan entailed bringing together donors and recipients. The concept has certainly caught on. On a daily basis now, restaurants, hotels, bakeries and other food points contact them with details of what they wish to donate. Welfare institutions such as orphanages, soup kitchens and homes for the elderly let the group know of their needs, and a coordinated, mutually beneficial food pickup is arranged. Through this innovative redistribution, over 6 million meals have been provided for struggling welfare organisations. The true benefits of this are not immediately obvious, for while community kitchens provide sustenance for thousands, the stigma of waiting in a food queue can be quite traumatic, particularly for children. However, by buying and therefore cooking their own food, families can maintain their dignity despite the soul-crushing weight of poverty. All of this gives me food for thought, and I consider the nature of my own charitable involvement. Just last week, I signed an online petition for a worthy cause. A tally prominently displayed on the page informed me that I was signee number 17,388, but 20,000 signatures were required for further action to be taken. I forwarded it to a few friends. Moving on to Facebook, a link directed me to a group fighting to save a local park from redevelopment, and it urged me to like it. I clicked like. Why not? I enjoy parks as much as the next person. I mentioned it on Twitter. Who was I kidding? A couple of digital campaigns requiring nothing more than clicks did not make me a philanthropist. It was nothing more than hashtag activism, where instead of actually doing something, I pretended to care by posting things all over social media. I felt sickened by my own narcissism, masking as altruism. That's not who I want to be. So, I've resolved to get involved and do my bit. Bright and early this Sunday morning, you'll find me, paintbrush in hand, outside the homeless shelter. I won't film myself or post about it on social media. I will simply contribute to a good cause, and I will do so without the promise of receiving meaningless Facebook likes in return.